This is AM Studios Podcast, where we curate all the knowledge, resources, and power you need to help you create your business in entertainment, podcasting, music, tech, art, fashion, and more. Every week, we share everything we've learned at AM from the greatest minds in the business. Let's go.
Feels like it's about a year that I've been coming at every single Tuesday, and I talk about exactly the same thing pretty much every single Tuesday to a class. And I believe that it is such valuable, it's such a valuable part of the industry, and it takes so much repeating over and over again that we've moved it out here to essentially extend that information to more people. Okay. And how we got here was actually that it started as a music theory class, and in that group of about 50 people, I started realizing that actually music theory is very important, but actually what is very obvious is that there's a lot of misinformation about how the industry actually works, how to get the money, where the money comes from, what's required to get the money, you know, basically. And that's why that's what we're doing here. We are here because we want to make money from music. You know what I mean? If you didn't want to make money from music, that's fine, you know. And it's a very respectable approach, you know, but there are some of us for whom this is a vocation beyond just, you know, performing for our family and friends, where we are providing value that we deserve to earn money from it. Okay. And that is what I started realizing. What we started realizing as a group was that this information was actually the information that is more important. And to be honest, it is very simple. It's very simple to grasp once you have put all the pieces together. Okay, the first time you do a puzzle, like, it's tough, you know, but the second time you do it, you start recognizing all the pieces that need to fit together. And by, you know, if you had to keep doing the same puzzle piece, the puzzle over and over again, it would become straightforward. And that's why I say it's the same thing I teach every single week, because I start from scratch, and I'm going to give you a lot of information today, and not every penny is going to land. Okay, but I promise you, if you come back next week and we'll go through some different examples with people here to figure out, like, you know, in your hustle, what does this information mean, and we'll take it from, and then over the course of like a whole bunch of weeks, or you come back, it'll all start making sense of how this all kind of comes together. Okay, so don't worry about that. I know you can't see anything there. What you're looking at there is kind of the landscape of where your music happens, and we're going to kind of dive into that into a little bit of detail. Okay, but I want to just tell you about from the beginning, just an understanding of what I believe your approach should be, and where you should put your focus. What you should prioritize when you're making music, in terms of like how you are, you know, from the administrative side, because if you put the focus on this, everything else kind of comes together. Okay, so the first part of this is, where does the money come from? Okay, you have four basic streams. Okay, you have music from live. Okay, you get paid for a session, you're an artist, you get paid for a gig, you get paid to do something live, you're going to earn money from live. Second part of it is that you're going to earn money from sales. Okay, but what I mean by sales is that you're going to earn money, you're going to put your track out, or you're going to be either an artist that puts a track out, or you're going to be on a track that gets released and somebody pays for it. And when money changes hands on Spotify, or advertisements are placed on your YouTube video, or you're selling it on iTunes, or if you're selling cassettes or CDs or whatever, you're gonna earn from sales, okay? Not you, money is gonna come in from sales, okay? The third part of this is that money comes in from royalties, okay? And there's a whole variety of royalties that I'll explain. The fourth revenue stream is what we call licensing, okay? And licensing happens when you have created something and there is an entity that wants to use it for their purposes, okay? So whether you license it for TV or you license for an advert or you license it for a teddy bear when they press a button on a teddy bear, that's called licensing, and that's that happens once you've created something. Okay, are we comfortable about that? Okay, those are the four streams. There are other streams. There may be other auxiliary kind of streams. And to my knowledge, maybe I've overlooked one, but those are the four most important ones for all of us in the industry. I don't care if you're a featured artist, if you are selling 100,000 million units, or if you are just a session musician going to your next recording session. Those are the four streams that you need to be, that you are always going to be, that you can kind of be going to deal with. Okay, now, and also if you want, you're welcome to take notes. I appreciate you taking notes. And this is almost something that like I feel like you really have to kind of practice this over and over again. Okay. Oh, geez. Sorry. I didn't even introduce myself or anything. We just got cracking. But anyway, my name is James. I'm not a superstar. Okay. I'm just somebody in the industry who is trying to get it right, just like everybody else. And I've worked on some cool stuff. I've worked with some cool people. But that is inconsequential because the value of today is not about what I've done, it's about what I'm going to tell you and hopefully it's right. Okay. Anyway, so I'm James. Okay. And we figured out early on that everybody here is in the music industry, and we're going to do a couple of just examples. We will chat through your hustle to put what I'm telling you in context. Okay. Now, I've now told you about the four revenue streams. Okay. Live is its own beast, okay? You are all in your own live, in your live hustle, and I'm very happy to give you my experience information, I can give you information from my own experience anecdote, okay? But we know that the live industry is very, very fraught with, it's tough, okay? It's a very, no, every part of the industry is tough, but it comes with it's a whole separate game, okay? And one of the important things about the live industry, okay, when I say live, I'm not talking about recording sessions. I'm talking about you going to, getting booked to play at Market Theatre or getting booked to play at a festival or something like that, okay. The very important thing to recognize about that is that the law doesn't protect you from a copyright perspective, okay. You are not protected for what you've created when you do live music, okay. You are protected by the law the same way that a plumber is protected and the same way that, anybody else that sells a service is protected. You know what I mean? If somebody says to you, I want you to do this job, and you say, I'll do it, there's an agreement there and the law protects you for that, but there's no copyright, there's no creation of anything that happens in that, and that's why I say it's very different. It falls into a different part of the protection vibe, which is why I'm steering away from that today. Okay, so then that leaves sales, royalties, and licensing. Am I right? Okay, so and sales, royalties, and licensing essentially refers to anything that you have created when you're recording, when you are recording something. Okay, now it is my position that if you only focus on the royalties, okay, sales and licensing is easy. Okay. Royalties is by far the most complicated. It's the toughest. South Africa is brutal. The organizations that are supposed to pay us our royalties, each one of them comes with their own challenges, okay? And all of those challenges are like bullseyes that you've got to hit. You've got it's like a computer game with levels, with cheat codes that you have to know the cheat codes to get to the final, to your final enemy before you beat the final enemy and then you get your royalties. You know what I mean? Just if anybody is a member of SAMRO, you know, you'll know just to get onto the SAMRO portal, just to become a member of SAMRO comes with its own challenges. Okay. And I'm not trying to have a dig at any of these things. I don't have a position on whether SAMRO is good or SAMRO is good or anything. I don't make any things like that. I just want my money, and I know that it's a challenge to get. I know it's a challenge to get my money, and these are the steps I have to take to get my money. Okay. Now, why I say chasing the royalties is the easiest thing. Okay, is because in order to get your royalties, you would have followed all the steps that protect you for if you're involved in sales, okay? And you would have followed all the steps that protect you if you were going down the route of licensing, okay? In order to get your royalties, like the most comprehensive way to get your royalties is to have agreements in place in one of your phases. By having agreements in place, you are protected for sales, you know? By having agreements in place, you are protected for licensing. There are extra steps you have to take for royalties, you know what I mean? So if you just focus on getting it right with the three royalty organizations, all of the other stuff kind of just falls into place. You know what I mean? Like it's almost impossible to get it right with the royalty people and not get it right with sales and licensing. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Okay, so here's the journey. In order to get your money from your royalties, okay, from the royalty organizations, okay, you don't need to write them down now, I'm going to explain them just now, but SAMRO, SAMPRA, and Capasso. In order to get your money from them, they have to know that your song was played. Okay, that's the first part. They have to know that your song was played. Okay, the second part of it is that they have to know that you were the person that wrote that song or that you were the person that played on that song. Okay, that's the first part. Okay, so SAMRO has to know. Okay, that or is it the royalty organization has to know first. Okay, that's how you get paid. In order for them to know, they have to be notified. Okay, you have to notify them formally, and they have to also be notified of the performances of the song or the sales of the song or the performance on radio of the song that you were involved in. Okay, so you're going to get paid because the royalty organizations know by notification that you were the person that was on that track and that your track played on this radio station or something like that. Everybody clear with that? Okay. That's a first step backwards from getting your money. Okay. In order to notify, you have to have the notifications in, okay, but you have to have agreements between all the rights holders that are on that track, okay? And there's various rights holders, okay? So you're getting paid because they know about your work and they know that your work was played. They know about that because you've got agreements in place, and because those agreements in place, you were able to submit your notifications correctly, okay? In order to have your agreements, okay, you need to understand and you need to know how to have the conversation with all of your fellow rights holders, okay? So you can't put a notification to the royalty organizations. Well, if I'm working with Rachel and I collaborate, okay, and I put in a notification and Rachel puts in a notification and they are different from each other, no money gets paid. Not to me, not to Rachel. Okay, if our notifications are not exactly perfect, we don't get paid. Okay, so in order for those notifications to be perfect, there has to be an agreement in place. And for that agreement to be in place, Rachel and I had to have had a conversation. We have to have had a conversation. In order to have that conversation, we have to understand the basics of what we actually having of what we are doing. Okay? So we have to understand what our role was in the work that we were creating so that we could have the conversation. Okay? And in order to have that information, we have to know the basics. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, we understand the basics so that we can understand our role in the work that we've created. By understanding our role in the work we've created, we're able to have conversations with our collaborators, okay, that are open and honest. By having the open and honest conversations with our collaborators, we then are able to agree in writing about what we've done on that. By agreeing in writing, we're able to submit the correct notifications to SAMRO and the correct information flows to the radio stations, for instance, for queuing to the various royalty places, okay? And by those notifications happening and by the correct information going to SAMRO, we get paid our royalties. Does that make sense? Okay. So I worked backwards from there and then forwards from the basics. Okay. That's really important. Okay. And the reason why I said if you chase the royalties is because all the stuff you need to do for sales, you've already done in the agreements phase. You know, if you want to license your music, if you've already covered everything in the agreements phase, you can license. It's easy to license. All that stuff is so easy once it's very, very clear about who owns what or who played what role in a recording. Does that make sense? Okay. Have you got any questions so far? Cool. Okay. So let's go. Let's start with the basics. There are two copyrights. You cannot record a song. It's not physically possible to record a song without two copyrights being present. Okay? And that is the essential difference between all of these income streams that I was talking about, and the income streams that you would get from being paid to perform live somewhere. Okay? Is that in this part of the world, in the recording world where we are recording music and releasing music, okay, the law protects us. The law protects you a lot. Okay. It's not necessary to be in disputes. Okay. If you can get into the practice of following these processes. Okay. The word copyright specifically means that you are the person that A, gets to decide how this music flows. You are the person that gets to decide if your track gets released on Spotify, on iTunes, if you release it through DistroKid, if you release it to YouTube. By having the copyright, that is what the copyright means, is that you are the person that gets to decide what happens with that music, okay? The law also says that if you have created something, okay, and you own the copyright of a work, you're also the person that gets to earn the money from it. Anytime that work gets used, you get to decide whether you get to decide the money that changes hands for that. Okay? You get to be remunerated for having been the person that owns the copyright in that. Okay. There are two copyrights that we are always talking about. Okay. The first one is called the copyright in the sound recording. Okay. The copyright in the sound recording, okay, refers to when anybody ever records or plays into a mic, okay? So if like you sing into the mic that gets recorded, it gets combined with a bass, with a beat, with a guitar, any combination of sounds that gets put into this one file, okay, or one disc or one tape, okay, and when I play it on Spotify and you play it on YouTube and somebody else presses play on the cassette, it's exactly the same thing that gets played every single time. That is called the sound recording, okay. Now, the person who owns the copyright in the sound recording is called the record label, okay. Now, you don't have to be a company to be a record label. Does that make sense? But simply by owning the copyright of something, you take the role of a record label. Okay. So the words are interchangeable. Okay. And the copyright in the sound recording is sometimes called, is what we refer to as the masters. Okay. So if you own the masters, you own the copyright in the sound recording. That is what we are talking about. Okay. The people that create a sound recording, okay, are called the recording artists. And that is the producer, the featured artist, and the non-featured artist. Okay, so the non-featured artist is what we refer to as session musicians. Okay, so when I refer to a producer, this is really important. Okay, and spread the word, get this word out there, tell your friends, like shout it from the rooftops. Okay, a producer is not a beat maker. Okay, are we clear about that? The term producer, when we are using it in the legal sense, and when we are using it in the in the in the in the in the um, as it applies to the sound recording, is the person that is responsible for the sound of the recording. There is somebody who decides if we're going to have backing vocals on this thing, if we're going to have a horn section here, what kind of drums are we going to use? There's somebody that's going to tell the vocalist, I don't like that line. I think you should do that line differently. You know, like let's do two or three takes and then that's the take there. That's what a producer does. That is what the role of the producer is. Okay, there are many times that a beat maker will be the producer as well. Okay, Prince KB, when he brings somebody else onto a beat that he's played. You know, is going to end up being the producer. He's responsible for the sound. He's responsible for the sound of that thing. But his role as the beat maker and it is very, very different to his role as the producer. Okay, we'll explore that later. Okay, so we've got that. The first four roles that you could play whenever you're recording, you could be the record label. Okay, you could be the featured artist. Okay, and the featured artist, by the way, is the person whose name the song is released in. Okay. Not just the main artist, but anybody whose name is there. Okay. Abalele by Kabza De Small featuring Amifaku. Kabza De Small and Amifaku are both recognized as featured artists on that track. Yes. I'll get to that just now. Cool. So that's part of the next step where after you're clear about the basics and like have a think about it, you know, while I'm talking about this now, because you might have a very different opinion or you might have a different understanding of what your role was, and you know, now compared to after I've explained this to you. Yeah.
So now say I'm an artist, right? So I'm a vocalist, I sing. Yeah. And I've got an idea for a song, and I bring people into a studio, and I kind of tell everybody what sounds I want.
You're the producer.
You're
the producer.
So I produce the track.
I'm not presenting you four people that are on a sound recording. I'm presenting you with four roles. You can be the producer, the record label, and the featured artist, and you can also if you are playing keys in the background and stuff, you can be the non-featured artist. You can be all four roles at the same time.
Awesome.
Yeah. So you don't have to, you know, the thing I'm telling you about here is because when you get to the end of the recording, it needs to be very clear who was the producer. Well, it was me. It may have been me and somebody else. There are many, many times when you'll have a feature, you'll have the featured the person who's releasing a track. It'll be, you know, whatever, produced by Jay-Z and the three producers. You know, or Beyonce plays she's a producer of her stuff. If the artist is taking such a creative role in making big decisions about it, they are the producer as well. Yeah, cool. So the featured artist is the person whose name is the track is released in. Okay. So if your name features on the release, you're a featured artist. If you're not, you are considered a non-featured artist. Most of the time, for practical sake, we call that a session musician. Okay. So a session musician will come into studio and record, okay? A very, very important part of this is that none of these people are composers or lyricists, okay? Make it very clear. Nomcebo, in this instance, is a featured artist only. She's not the composer yet, okay? In terms of the sound recording, she is only a featured artist right now, okay? In terms of the sound recording, Master KG is only the producer. Okay, because the second copyright is called the copyright in the musical and or the literary work, okay? This is important. Around the world, there are various manifestations of how this copyright comes into play, okay? But for practical purposes in South Africa, the musical and literary work will almost certainly always be, almost recognized as one copyright. One joint copyright of actually two underlying copyrights. Okay. The copyright in the musical work is anything that has musical value. Okay. So it's a unique combination of musical characteristics that are unique to this performance. Okay, so from a technical point of view, the characteristics of music are melody, harmony, percussion. There's a fourth one called timbre. Okay, but that one is not really, it's not really applied as it pertains to copyright because timbre hasn't really actually been. It's not very easy to define timbre. Timbre is so melody is a melody. Okay, okay, and harmony is obviously the sequence of chords, the way that you play multiple notes over each other. Rhythm is essentially where those notes fall in time, okay? And then timbre, basically, if you can tell the difference between and you are distinguishing those two sounds based on their timbre, okay? And that's why it's very difficult to consider timbre as something that is part of this, the copyright. But melody, harmony, and rhythm are without doubt the three things. If a song goes into dispute, the musicologists, the professionals will distinguish two works from each other by their differences or similarities in melody, harmony, harmony and percussion. Cool. So that's the musical work. And then the literary work is anything that can be reduced to text. If you can type out what you heard in Word, in Microsoft Word or in a document, if you can type it out, that is the literary work. Okay? Ah, yeah, avusa balele. That's the literary work. That's the melody, okay? And the melody combined with all of the stuff that Kabza did becomes this joint musical work, and then combined with the literary, with the lyrics, generally, you will find that in South Africa, it's more practical that this will become one joint work that we refer to as the copyright in the musical and literary work. Does that make sense? You don't have to. It's very possible that you can say, as a lyricist or as a lead, if you're doing top line or something like that, you can say, like, I don't want that. I don't want to be, like, the lyrics are mine. Whatever I wrote, those lyrics are mine. I want those separate in the separate copyrights. I want to control that myself. You have every right to do that, okay? From a collaborative point of view, it can become quite messy, later on down the line. So from a practical point of view, there's very, very, very few moments, where you do that. I mean, some instances where that is necessary is, for instance, if you take somebody's poem, somebody's already written a poem, and then you set that to music, you are then creating a musical work that accompanies this literary work. But that literary work is on its own. Make sense? Okay. So, the copyright owner is called the publisher. Okay. So a record label controls the publishing on. A record label owns the copyright in the sound recording, and a publisher owns the copyright in the musical and literary work. Okay, so the record label, like I said, doesn't have to be a company. You can just fulfill the role of being the record label by virtue of owning the sound recording. Same thing with a song. If you write a song and you have not given that copyright, you've not assigned that copyright to anybody, you own the copyright in the musical and literary work. You can't. It's that's what it is. Okay, and if the person that actually the publisher that owns that copyright, this is an unfortunate technical term in the industry, but you are actually referred to as the original publisher. Okay, the original publisher is the person that owns the copyright, because you have things like admin publishers and what they call admin publishers or royalty publishers. Those are people that are assigned the license to collect the money on your behalf, but they don't own the copyright. The copyright rests with the original publisher, who's either you, or if you have a company or a publisher that you work with, you would assign the copyright. Or if you're in like a publishing deal with a major or something, that copyright then gets assigned to those people, okay? So like with the sound recording, we had the record label that owns the copyright, and the creators were the producer, featured artist, and non-featured artist. With the copyright in the musical and literary work, we have the copyright owner is the publisher, but the creators are the composer and the lyricist, okay? So, you as the composer will also take on the role as the publisher. And that's really, really important. It's an important distinction to make, is that my act of creating something should rest in my mind separately from my from the act of exploiting the work, of managing the work, of deciding how that work gets, you know, manifest itself. Does that make sense? Okay. And the reason why I say that's important is because throughout the industry, like, there are various times when somebody says, well, who's the publisher on this track? Or da-da-da-da, you know. And you can say, oh, I don't have a publisher, you know. But actually, that's not right. It's not right. And if you learn to start asserting yourself in that, you will start managing the process better. You know what I mean? You will not lose opportunities or something, but, you know, by virtue of, like, I don't have a publisher. I'm the publisher, damn it. This is my song. I'm the original publisher. I haven't assigned it to anybody else. I control the publishing of this thing, you know. And that's important. That's really important. Like, there are moments, there will be times in your life when something that you've created is important to you, and you need to understand that you have the copyright, you have been given the legal right to decide what happens with something that you have created. Make sense? Great. So, we have seven roles. Okay. Those seven roles: record label, producer, featured artist, non-featured artist, publisher, composer, lyricist. Are we clear? Those are the seven roles. You here in this room, when you are in a studio, fulfill at least one of those. And you can fulfill all seven roles of those. You know, if you record something in your room, you know, and it's good enough to release, and you like, and it's done, you have done every role. You are the record label, you are the producer, you are the featured artist, the non-featured artist, you are the composer and the lyricist, and you publish yourself. And each one of those comes with separate revenue streams, separate potential, separate exploitation possibilities, okay? And obviously it's very difficult to get it right the first time, but, you know, now that you know that the next time, you've just got to keep practicing it over and over and over again, understanding what the role was. You know, you asked me just now, you said about the percentages now, you know. I mean, I'm going to get deeper on this just now, but even what I've told you now could give you an idea of exactly how, you know, like what you're talking about, because the percentages, you know, you actually weren't clear to me, because the percentages are basically who owns what of the sound recording, okay, or who owns the copyright and the sound recording, but is anybody else going to make any money from that, like through an artist deal or a producer's deal, or who owns percentages in the actual composition, you know what I mean? Cool. Did I make it clear what the composition is, that it's intellectual property? So you've got the sound recording, but like, if I had to go and do my own cover of Abalele, an acoustic cover on guitar, and it's beautiful, and it goes and makes a lot of money, like, Kabza and Ami, or whoever the record label is there, owns the recording of that Amapiano version. Kabza and Ami own the copyrights and the musical and literary work together, based on whatever their agreement was. And I own the sound recording of the cover that I released. But I don't own the musical and literary work. They own the musical and literary work, and they deserve to get remunerated for whatever I've done releasing their cover. Does that make sense? Cool. So, the money. In the copyright and the sound recording, okay, the sound recording has specific ways that it can make money, okay? The first part is from sales, okay? So remember when I said earlier on, we have sales, royalties, licensing, okay? Sales can only be exploited, okay, by the owner of the sound recording, okay? Because the owner of the sound recording has somehow taken the risk to get all the people together onto a recording. Someone got paid to mix, somebody got paid to master, the costs of releasing it, the costs of the, like, marketing, all that stuff has gone out, and therefore that person deserves to get the money, the copyright and the sound recording, okay? The next part of this is from streaming, okay, which is exactly the same thing. It's money has changed hands for the opportunity to listen to the song, okay? So whether I bought the CD and own the CD, or if I subscribe to Spotify, I am paying to be able to listen to that track in my own in the comfort of my own home. Okay. Now the next part of this is artist and producer royalties. Okay. While only one person can really own the sound recording copyright, okay, so the copyrights and the musical and literary work can be shared, it's very tricky. It's not that it's not possible, it's just very unlikely and very and very cumbersome from a legal perspective, and generally, it's tricky for the law to protect this kind of agreement. Normally, one person owns the copyright in the sound recording. Okay, so that is generally what happens. But that is then where the term artist and producer royalties comes from. Okay, so I may ask somebody to come and join me on my track. I might have this beautiful beat, and then I get an artist to come, and I say, like in all of our things, we say, well, let's go 50-50 on it, you know. I'm going to own the sound recording copyright. I'm the person that made the organization. I'm the person that organized for the sound recording. And if there's ever a dispute, the lawyer is going to say, the person who made the arrangements for the sound recording is the person that owns the copyright. Okay, so by virtue of me inviting somebody else to come and record on my thing, I've made the arrangements for it. Doesn't matter if that person is Shakira or somebody around the corner from my house. If I made that initial suggestion or something, I'm the person that organized it. Okay? Now, if we say 50-50, I'm the person that owns the sound recording, and it's technically what we've agreed on then is that that artist or that person is going to get a 50% royalty and a 50% artist royalty from the sales of the product. Okay, and that's an important distinction as well. So if somebody asks you to feature on their track, you should start practicing that in your own mind, going, I completely understand that this person's going to own the sound recording, but I'm very happy to go in on a 50-50 with them. You know, I'm also going to take risk, and they're going to give me 50% of the sales. So there's a whole bunch of clauses and things you can write just to say that, you know, that protects you in that, and we'll get to that just now. The same thing applies to producers, okay? So producers, usually what will happen is a producer will get paid, and then we'll negotiate a certain number of what they call producer points or producer royalties. Okay, so you'll get paid like, I don't know, 10 grand a track, 15 grand a track, 5 grand a track, whatever it is to produce the track, and then you would negotiate maybe 3%, 4%, 6% of sales for that. Okay, so from the actual sales of the track, the owner of the sound recording, the record label, gets money, okay? The featured artist gets money, and the producer gets money, okay? Be clear about that, okay? I've not talked about the session musicians. The session musicians don't earn royalties, okay? It's not that they can't. You can, somewhere in the world, you could probably, you know, create a session musician royalty contract of some sort, but that's not how it's done. What usually happens is you get paid your 500,000, 2,000, 5,000, whatever it is. You get paid your bucks, you come in, you play, you leave. Right? Okay. So the session musician doesn't earn anything from the sales. Okay. But what they do earn is needle time royalties. Okay, so we're on this one here. You can see I've gone to licensing. Let me just fix that up. The owner of the copyright. Remember what I said. You get to decide what happens with that sound recording. Okay, so I've released Gusheshe, and now BMW wants to come and have that track licensed on every single one of their adverts. Okay, Family Tree are the people that get to decide if and how that song gets attached to a BMW advert. Nobody else can decide. Nobody else can take that sound recording without the owner of the sound recording agreeing to it. And in that process, you would license it. Make sense? You would say, and the terms of the license is what can make you a lot of money or not so much money. Okay, because you would license for 1 year in South Africa only, and it's not exclusive, you know, which would be cheap. Or it could be 10 years international in perpetuity, and totally exclusive. So 10 years around the whole world and a totally exclusive license would be very expensive. You know what I'm saying? So as the owner of the copyright, you would then have that ability. Okay. So now we're going to talk about needle time royalties. Okay. So now you've got the owner of the sound recording, the record label, okay, and you have the recording artists, which according to Sampra and according to this part of the law, or I'm not sure if it's actually law, if it's just part of the rules or the Sampra rules, recording artists are the featured artist, the non-featured artist, and the producer. Not talking about the beat maker. Even a producer that just acts in a producing role in which they command what happens in the studio is protected by Sampra or is paid by Sampra. Okay. Now, that royalty is paid by Sampra to the record label. Half is paid to the record label and half is paid to the recording artists. Okay, so if they're going to pay 10 Rand for your 10 Rand royalties, 5 Rand goes to the record label, 5 Rand goes to the recording artists. Okay, and that is for when your sound recording gets played on radio. Okay, so if it gets broadcast in public, your sound recording will earn you royalties by way of those radio stations paying Sampra a license fee. Okay, so they pay, let's say 5FM pays them 10 million a year, whatever, I don't know what the fees are. Okay, they pay them 10 million Rand a year so that they can play songs on their station. And then they will then tell Sampra, these are the songs we played, and Sampra then goes to those people and says, this is the money that you've earned from the licenses that we've collected. Okay, that's only for the recording. So record label, producer, featured artist, non-featured artist. Okay, so you can already imagine, and I know that a lot of you, if you've done sessions, okay, will be thinking, I mean, I don't know if any of you guys have played on tracks that have made it to radio yet, but if you have been in a recording session and your track has made and that song has been played in radio anywhere, doesn't matter if it's Gagasi or flipping like UJFM, there is money that is owed to you, the session musician. Okay. You understand? Cool. So, and that's why, Sorry? Am I done? Oh, geez, bro, I'm not even 10. No, but yeah, go ask.
Oh, there's a mic here. She's asked if you can use the mic.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Okay. I'm a bit lost on the licensing part. You mentioned the licensing period, that it may affect if you license longer or maybe in the short term. So what advice can you give me? Let's say I'm in a setup of like a licensing agreement. How can I license in a smart way?
Cool. So I've got two comments. The first one is that the first comment you made about like, I can't remember exactly what you said about being confused or I'm a little bit lost or anything like that. What I said right at the beginning I teach exactly the same thing every week, okay? It's because this is a lot of information, and I promise you it will make sense. But don't be scared about the fact that something doesn't make sense, because I promise you if you just keep at it week after week, you know what I mean? Like, the penny will drop at some point. Okay, so now just about that licensing. Firstly, you can only license a recording if you own the copyrights in that recording. Are we clear about that? So you're not licensing, if you're a session musician in a thing, or you're the featured artist, or something like that, you can't license a track. The only person that can license the track is the person that owns the copyright in that track. Okay. My second piece of advice about licensing, when you said, you know, in terms of how to go about licensing, my gut, truthfully, just get the money, get what you can every single time. Just get whatever you can. You'll know that when you figure out, you can't skip the first time. You have to go through the first period of licensing somebody something. So somebody might come to you and say, can you write a song for an advert, you know, and you need to decide like what you have to go through the licensing period, you know. The most important thing beyond anything is to make sure that it is in writing, at least even in an email, okay, what the territory is, Okay, so that means where this song can be played. Okay, so like, so I recently went through a dispute where I wrote a song for Jumbo Wholesalers in the Eastern Cape. Okay, and I did it back in 2010, and thankfully in my invoice there was a 1-year term on it, and it turns out that they've been using my song on their switchboards and everything for the last 10 years, you know. And I found it out, and I went to them, and I was able to have just a really decent conversation just to say, you know, I'm protected in this situation, and, like, you know, I deserve to make, I've given you a lot of value from this thing, and, like, I deserve more money, you know. So I didn't even have a hectic. If you knew what I charged then, I think it was like a couple of thousand for that license, you know what I mean? And that's why I said just get the money. Because if you keep thinking that it's like, this is the one where I need to get the one, get, you know, when I need to get the cash, that's not what you need to, get like lots of these under your belt so that it's easy to negotiate, that you understand so that you start to get a sense of what your market is like, is willing to pay you, you know. So anyway, those three conditions. The first one is the territory, the second one is the term, and the third is the exclusivity. Those are the three things. And what makes it easy to negotiate, especially with licensing, and this is why it's so much easier than people think, okay, is that, like, you know, somebody thinks that when they're licensing a song, they can just use it. But you can just say, you know, if you can only pay me $5,000, that's fine. Then what we're going to do is, let's, for this time, can I suggest that we go with just a 3-month license? Let's get to the end of that 3 months and you tell me what you think, okay? If you can't afford it, you know. What I would usually charge, I mean, and this is, I'm just sucking numbers, but I would usually charge $5,000, or let's say, you know, in my current industry or my current, like, environment, I would usually charge $30,000 for a 6-month license or whatever. These are not numbers. But if they come to you and say, I've only got $5,000, then you say, well, that's fine. I want the money. How about we'd rather just go for not 6 months, how about we go for 2 months, and then get to the end of the 2 months and you decide. If it's had the value for you, then you can just extend the license for a bit, you know? So it's just, very evangelical about having the conversation, about keeping these conversations out in the open and not being legal about it, you know? And the way that I just told you is how I would speak to a client, and how I would suggest you speak to a client, you know, is that you are in that conversation, you are asserting the fact that you have created something of value. They wouldn't be coming to me for my thing, for my work, if it didn't have value for them. Otherwise, they'd go to somebody else. You know what I mean? And maybe they're not going to. Maybe they're not going to Casper, and they're coming to me because they think that I might need the work. But I'm still creating something of value. You know, so like, you know, like just. But like I say, go for the money. Don't go and lose 10 licenses because you're trying to be like some, you know, because you've heard from a friend who thinks you should be a big shot or something. Just go and get the money and keep getting the experience from one license to the next. You know, I promise you, at some point you flip over into being able to have that conversation really comfortably. You know, so yeah, so the very important part of this thing were firstly the sales royalties from the sales, which the record label earns the money, and the artists and the producers earn royalties from that, okay? And the record label, producer, featured artist, and non-featured artist all earn at some point some kind of royalty from Sampra for if that sound recording is played on radio, okay? Now, if you own the copyright and the musical and literary work, so you have composed the song, you own the intellectual property of the song and the lyrics, okay, you would earn from somebody else's sound recording, essentially, okay, because you can't earn from your intellectual property per se, because nobody will ever hear your intellectual property unless it is manifested in somebody else's sound recording. So every sound recording, that's why I said at the beginning, every sound recording will always travel with two copyrights. There's the physical part of it and then the intellectual property part of it. Okay, so the law says if I've created something and anybody else makes money off it, I get to earn as well. Okay, if anybody sells a version of my song, if I'm the composer and somebody else records it and makes money of it. My name is Mondli, and I've written in Ngeke Balunge, but Mafiki Zolo have released it. Okay, me as Mondli, I deserve to earn royalties from the sale of that.
On that point, right? Let's say now I'm a vocalist. I hear my song has been sampled by a producer.
Yeah.
It has been slowed down, reversed, and whatever, but I can still hear it's mine. Yeah. Am I owed anything? Or can
yeah, I? Of course. Why sampling is such a hot topic, is because I mean it's not just your song. When you say your song. My question to you is: firstly, are you the record label? Do you own the copyrights in that song, in the recording? Okay, because that person has sampled the recording. Okay, and they've sampled the musical work. There's an intellectual property that's traveling, and a sound recording that's traveling in something that somebody else has released. Okay, and they are obviously claiming it for themselves because they are not able to perform that without getting it licensed from you. So if they've had no authorization from you, then they are doing it without your permission, you know. And yes, you protect it. Exactly. That's why. Sampling. Don't sample. Don't sample unless you've spoken to both the sound recording and the publisher. That's why it is so complicated and why you'll see in every, like, draft split letter or whatever, whenever there's something, everybody will always say, I swear that I have not sampled something, because you will be in trouble.
So if I want to sample someone's music, what would be the procedure to follow? Say it's your song and I'd like to use your song to do my own thing.
Yeah, so the first point of that, the very, very first part of that is that you have to have an understanding that you are trying to, what you are sampling is, when you are sampling, you are taking two copyrights from somebody else and you are trying to incorporate it into something that you've created, okay? Unless you're doing like a mixtape in which you just, performing, if you're just doing one mix into another, you know, I mean, then you have to credit that somehow. You can't release it without their permission, is what I'm saying. Because the insinuation when you are sampling is that you are putting it off as your own work. You know what I mean? Like, because you haven't got the authorization from somebody else. And because you haven't credited them properly, and the reason why you need to authorize it is because you've created a new musical work without their authorization. You know what I mean? And that the law says to the copyright that the copyright owner gets to decide. I can't go and put a lyric, I can't take someone's lyrics, someone's poem, and create a new musical work and sell it. I can't do that because that person has rights. The law protects them to say, you've created something, you get to decide how that is combined, how that goes out there. And if that person only ever wants their poem on paper, that's it. You can't, I mean, the law specifically says that's what, and that's why you get to earn whatever you earn from whatever you've created. So that's, and trust me, though, like, it's the same with everything. It's just if you learn to have the conversation, you know, you'll probably find that it's not that difficult. As long as you know that there's a copyright owner and there's a copyright of the sound recording owner, copyright of the musical work owner, you're gonna go and speak to both of those people. You have to find them. You can't, you know, the fact that it's cumbersome for you doesn't mean shit. You know what I mean? Like, because someday you're gonna be a big star and somebody's gonna earn money from your stuff, you know, and you're gonna sit there going, you know, fuck, you should have gone through all that hell to get my thing because I'm protected by the law, you know. So, cool. So, anyway, when a track is sold, okay. So I said, Ngeke Balunge is sold through iTunes. It's sold through Spotify. It's on YouTube, whatever. Mondli, who was a songwriter, gets to earn a specific percentage of the sales. Okay, so I think it's 6% or something. I don't know what the actual number is, but there's a specific percentage of the thing that is prescribed by law that has to get paid to an organization called Capasso, and Capasso then takes all the money that they've collected from the sales, and then they distribute that to the publishers and the songwriters. Make sense? Okay. So it's publishers and songwriters that own a musical and literary work that has been said. So if I go and now release a cover of Ngeke Balunge myself, okay, there's a percentage of the sales of that that goes to Capasso and it goes straight to Mondly. It doesn't go to Mafikizolo, okay? As per Spotify, Mondly is the only songwriter of that track. So Mafikizolo doesn't earn anything from my recording of that song. It's only Mondly the songwriter and his publisher. Does that make sense? Cool, yes. Well, because the artist is earning from the sales of their song. They get access to the sales of the royalty, okay? And they've been involved in the creation of the copyright of that sound recording. Mafikizolo is only the recording artist in that instance. The only copyright they created was the copyright in the sound recording. Mondly created the copyright in the musical work. The idea of Ongeke Balunge came from Mondly. It's his intellectual property. It doesn't matter if Mafikizolo are the ones that made it big, you know. That has no bearing on it because that's not the Copyright Act doesn't say, you know, it's only if your song is good, you know, or if your song is bad. The Copyright Act says if it's new, you get to do it. The fact that Mondly is the writer, you know, that's it. I mean, his value was that, you know, like he was the one that created that value. You know what I mean? Even though he's not known, you know, Mafikizolo couldn't have done it without him.